We're jumping into the book of Hebrews this evening at the end of the argument. This is the author making one last effort to show the readers why they should not leave the Christian faith as they're being tempted to. Now, I know for us today, an argument about the sacrificial system might not seem like a really compelling reason to stay a Christian. But for people who had spent most of their lives as a part of Judaism, this is what they're tempted to go back to. And so we have to do the best we can to see what the author of Hebrews is talking about in order to see what it might say to us again. Now, our scripture starts with an argument about sitting and standing. We might not think it makes much difference today if a religious leader sits or stands, but here's why it matters in the scripture. For the Jewish priests, for them to be standing means that they're having to continue to work. They have to continue to offer sacrifices for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus sits, not because he is lazy, but because his work is done. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus has made the only necessary sacrifice for us and our sins. So all that we need for salvation is complete. The work is finished. There's nothing that can be done to make us more forgiven people. There's nothing that can be done to make us more saved people. Jesus has already done everything that is necessary. And so our God sits down. Now, because we have a God who sits, a God who in Jesus has completed the sacrifice for our sins, we might be tempted to think, well, then what are we supposed to do? If after all, everything is completed, if Jesus is just up there hanging around in heaven, then we should just be able to do whatever we want because we're set, right? Well, not so fast, says the writer of Hebrews. Just because Jesus has completed his sacrifice, it doesn't mean that we're off the hook without any responsibility. True, as people who had been forgiven, we're given a lot of freedom. But this isn't freedom to do whatever we want. It's freedom to do everything we can. As forgiven people, all possibilities are open to us. That means we can live for Christ and that we can continue to live a holy life because we are no longer stuck in sin. We're free to live into relationship with Jesus. And so having a God who sits means that we can stand and run and jump and go. This scripture focuses on three things that we're free to do as forgiven people. And they're pretty easy to spot because the writer starts them all off with the words, "Let us." As forgiven people, he is writing, "Let us do these things." And they break down to three pretty easy phrases. Let us have confidence. Let us have hope. And let us have community. So to start, let us have confidence. We're told in the scripture, "Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our blood washed with pure water." Now, I know that verse is confusing, so let's think of it this way. Because we have been completely forgiven, we can be confident in our relationship with Christ. We can turn to Jesus and never fear rejection. This is something we probably all know in our heads, but we sometimes don't do a very good job of having this active confidence. Because we are forgiven people, we can be confident that when we turn to God in prayer, even if we haven't prayed in a long time, even if we aren't quite sure what to say, that God will listen to us and respond. Because we are forgiven people, we can be confident that there's nothing in all of creation that would ever be able to separate us from the love of God. Because Jesus has completed his sacrifice for our sin, we can be confident that there is no sin we could ever commit that would not be forgiven when we turn with repentance to God. Now, being confident people doesn't mean that we are arrogant or that we act superior to others. Having confidence in Christ simply means that we live as loved and forgiven people. And as loved and forgiven people, we're willing to boldly be the body of work Christ in the world. Let us have confidence, and let us have hope. As our scripture says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. As those confident in the forgiveness and love we receive from Christ, we can also be people of hope. Because the forgiveness and love we receive is not just something that's true in the past or even in the present. It's true in the future as well. So we can look towards the future with hope because we believe that we'll still be loved and forgiven then. Our faith allows us to look towards the future and know with confidence that no matter what, God will still be with us. No matter what happens, God will always be present in our lives. Our God is faithful, and our God keeps promises. This can be difficult for us today because we're so used to so many broken promises. Yet in a world full of broken promises, we have a God who keeps promises. And because of that, we can be confident not only in our status as loved and forgiven people, we can also hold fast to the hope that these promises will last forever. Let us have confidence, let us have hope, and let us have community. The writer of Hebrews exhorts us, let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. As a community, we're called to provoke others on to love and good deeds, meet together, and encourage one another. For us today, I sometimes wonder if this is the hardest of the three, because we like to think that we can do everything on our own. We value the individual. We're taught from a young age that part of success in life is being able to do things on your own. And yet here comes the church saying, no, we actually need each other. Sure, our faith is personal, but it's not private. Our Methodist forefather, John Wesley, was so sure of this way back in the 18th century that he wrote, directly opposite to this is the gospel of Christ. Solitary religion is not to be found there. Holy solitaries is a phrase no more consistent with the gospel than holy adulterers. The gospel of Christ knows no religion but social, no holiness but social. You cannot be a holy singular individual. You can only be a holy person who's part of a holy community. That's why we heed the same call today to be together in community. We don't do faith alone. We live out faith together, by meeting together, by encouraging each other, and by provoking each other on to love and good deeds. So what does it mean to provoke others on to love and good deeds? Well, it's about more than just doing good. It's about more than just loving others. We must be the kind of people that challenge and encourage others to do good as well. So are you the type of person who's provoking others on to love and good deeds? Are you the type of person who's encouraging others to love? Are you the type of person who's providing opportunities for others to be involved in the work of Christ? And are you not only provoking others on to love and good deeds, are you allowing yourself to be provoked? Are you allowing yourself to be changed by the community of the church? Because part of this call to community is a call for us to be changed as well. We should be better Christians because we spend time with others. We should be allowing others to help us grow in faith and holiness. So who in your life is provoking you on to good deeds and love? We should surround ourselves with people who do. And we should be responding to their challenges as we strive to be not just holy individuals, but a holy community living life together with support and love. Our scripture tells us that our salvation is assured. Christ has already completed all that is necessary, and he has sat down.
But now's the time for us to rise up. To rise up and be people who are confident in our salvation and the forgiveness and love of Christ that's offered to each and every one of us. To rise up and be people of hope who look to the future and trust that God will always love us, forgive us, and be present with us. And to rise up and be a community who meet together, encourage each other, and provoke one another on to love and good deed. A community who challenges each other to live out our faith. Let us have confidence. Let us have hope. Let us have community.